All right, good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Y'all look pretty good. Farther back you get, the better I look, right? But good to see you guys here tonight. Bethany and I are excited to be with you. And so if you want to grab your notes, we're just going to jump right in. Is that fair enough? Grab your notes and get them opened. And Bethany and I are going to do some teaching together here tonight and share God's word with you. If you're working on a marriage, almost without exception, there are some things that are just a given. You know what? We can all do better at communication. How many of y'all know that? Yep. So we got to talk about that one. And as odd as it sounds, the bedroom is always an issue in many couples' lives. We're going to talk about that tonight. And so you came on the right night. So two really great topics. And we're really, really, really thankful to be with you guys. And always happy to be here and to serve. And some of you have heard us teach a ton of times. And we're grateful for that. And always, always really honored to be with you. Bethany and I will be married this year, 33 years. We have 5 youngins. Did you see what I did there? It's where the youngs. So yeah, 5 youngins, and one of them is here tonight. And our Joshua is, what's your title? Are you executive pastor, co-pastor, some just pastor? Faith Baptist Church in Beaver Creek. And so he and our daughter-in-law are here tonight. Did you wave everybody so they know you guys? And our granddaughter is here as well. And so she's what?
Hopefully this is the last time you see me.
Yeah, I hope that too. All right, what are we doing now? All right.
The only time I'm dressing, that's it.
All right, can you hear me now? All right, good deal. Here's work.
Yes.
No. Nope.
Yes.
All right, does hers work now? Oh, yeah. Okay, so we're good to go now. But thank you for being here tonight. And honestly, you can ask questions. I hope you will. Free to ask anything. Doesn't mean we'll answer it, but you can ask it. And see, we'll do our best to answer any question you ask. And we all actually will try to end maybe a couple of moments early, because sometimes there's a question we can answer in the immediate. So we might take 1 or 2 questions at the end of each session as well tonight. And so ready to go? All right, let's jump in. Finding your Bible, Ephesians chapter 4. And tonight about winning at communication. And just jump in, get ready there. Winning at thanks, and so I'm going to get over here where I can stay kind of with you on where we are going. How many of y'all know that communication is a gift from God? Do you know that? We're the only part of God's creation that has this ability. I guess you could say dogs do communicate. Would you agree with that? They can tell you they're happy to see you, and they might pout a little bit, but your dog typically doesn't share an opinion. How many of y'all have an indoor dog? Indoor dog? Aren't you glad your dog doesn't, like, you know, you crawl out of bed, you're like, wow. You know, so they wouldn't do that. But God gifted all the, you know, creation has incredible abilities, but we are the part of God's creation that is designed in His image. And because of that, you have the ability to think, you have the ability to reason, you have the ability to communicate. And it really is an incredible gift. It's how you show love. It's probably why you fell in love. Would that be fair? I mean, probably you were attracted. Is that a given? I mean, maybe not. Maybe not. But probably you looked at each other and thought, you know what? She's you know, mighty fine. And you probably thought, that's a mighty fine stallion. And so there probably was some kind of attraction. But what really makes you fall in love? You talk. Beth and I met at a soccer game at Pensacola Christian College on a Friday night. And I didn't know her and she didn't know me, but here's what we did. We sat on the top row of the bleachers and we talked. And before that night was over, she was in love. Woo, that's good stuff right there. And so was I. That was the beginning. See, we talked. We shared our hearts. And I heard what she had to say and she heard what I had to say. And we listened and we talked. And the more we talked, the more we liked. And that's really where it all starts. And by the way, I'm here to tell you tonight, that's where it continues. The reason the devil is going to attack your communication on so many levels is because if he can hinder your communication, he can hurt your marriage. And he's really good at it. How many of y'all know that? You know that, don't you? And isn't it great, God's sense of humor? He made all you ladies pretty similar. And he made all of us men very different than he made you. And while that can be a real plus, isn't it amazing how we are so different and how it can hinder us? Like, don't you think differently than your spouse? How many of y'all typically in your relationship, the wife is more emotional? Would that be typical? Not always, but typical. And some of you are scared to respond to that. I did notice that. But honestly, isn't that interesting how that's so different, that God designed us that way? And communication's essential to keep us on the same page. And it's how we express love. How many of y'all are in love? Are you? It's how you show it, isn't it? You say it. Do you say it to each other still? You know, baby doll, I love you. Do you say that? Or snookums or whatever you call each other. So this is important. So let's jump in tonight and fill in the first blank, all right? Fill in the first blank. Number one, five steps to winning communication. Number one, here's what you got to do if you're going to win at communication. Well, number one, do it. All right, so write that down. That's so deep. You're going to be amazed at the depth of that statement. Number one, do it. All right, so write those two words down. In my notes, I put beside it, communicate, that is. Communication is a, now don't miss this. This is very important. It's your next fill in the blank. Communication is a not me, but we event. Not me, but we. Don't ever forget that when God brought you two together, you're now one. Yep. So it's no longer me. Everything from this point is a we event. Bethany and I, everything I do involves her. Everything she does involves me. And communication is not just me hearing, you know, getting my way, my say. No, it's a we event. That's very important to know. You know what Ephesians 4 is about, don't you? It's a loaded chapter, but in the latter half of the chapter is where Paul begins to talk about, you good there, babe? It's where Paul begins to talk about our sanctification, growing in the Lord, being what we ought to be. And you remember this, don't you? He says, here's how you grow in the Lord. You put off the old man. How many of y'all know that? Y'all know that? You put off the old man. What else do? You put on the new man. And then he's going to lay out for us some details there. You put off the old man and put on the new man by being renewed in the spirit of your mind. This is why y'all have devotions every day, because the word of God is to affect your mind, to help you to have the mind of Christ, to think like a Christian ought to think, so that you're putting on a new man. That's Christianity. And by the way, it's a process. You know that, don't you? So that none of us have fully arrived. We ought to be more mature than we were, but none of us have fully arrived. Y'all agree with that? So most of us still have a long way to go, right? And seasons can even change where we are. Because sometimes the seasons of life can hurt your communication or hurt your relationship. So he's laying out for us how to live the Christian life. Put off the old man. He's corrupt. He always has been. He always will be. And he always crawls back into your life. But you got to work on your mind and put on the new man. And when you put on the new man through the word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, what the word of God does in your life is create you in the image of Jesus Christ. And then he makes it really practical. He's going to apply it very practically. When he does, the first thing he talks about is communication. If you're in your Bible, Ephesians 4 lays it out here in verse 24 is where you find the put on the new man. Do you see that in verse 24? Are y'all there? Mm-hmm. Y'all see that? Look at verse 25. Well, what's the first way you apply this? Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. Who's your closest neighbor? Well, it's your spouse. So you got to talk to each other. So speak truth. If you drop down to verse 29, what does he say there? Notice, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Now, you could stop right there and say, don't cuss. That's a good place for an amen. And it was deathly silent. So you could say, don't cuss, because that would be corrupt communication, right? You with me on that? That's not what he's talking about, though. Because he's talking about put off the old man, put on the new man. And we'll come back to this in a moment. But notice, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Whatever that is, you got to put it off. Well, what is it? Well, here's what you put on. But that which is good to the use of, say the next word. Edifying. What does edifying mean? Building up. So if building up is what I'm to put on, what should I be putting off? Tearing down. Now, do Christian couples ever tear each other down? Well, if you don't think so, go to Walmart and just listen. Isn't it amazing how we talk to each other sometimes with married couples? are so sarcastic and belittling and hurtful and damaging. No, no, no. You and I are believers. We're to put off the old man. We're not to tear down and be negative and harsh and mean and hard to get along with. We're to put on the new man. So start determining we're going to win at communication. That's what I mean when I say do it. We're going to win. Bethany and I want to win at communication. So we want to be really good at sharing our hearts and sharing our feelings and sharing our ideas and staying on the same page. And we want to work at that. And it's not an automatic. You know that, don't you? It's not an automatic. You got to work at it. So in your notes, here we go. This is not a me event. This is a we event. So then number two, remove is your next one. Remove hindrances. Now, you got a brain, and some of you worked hard today, so you're tired. And this is probably a good nap for some of you. But so try to stay awake here. But what are some hindrances that would damage our communication? Do you have any ideas? What would hinder your... Say it loud, sir. Your phones? Seriously? A phone can hinder your communication? How many of y'all think that's possible? Why is it possible? Phones were designed to communicate. And then Steve Jobs got a hold of them. And Bill Gates. And now they're like social media devices and their YouTube videos. And so, yeah, phones can be a major hindrance. So be aware of that. You got to put it down, shut it down, turn it off, silence it. Be careful if your watch is hurting your communication. By the way, Beth and I were studying for communication for our podcast. You remember this one? We were doing some reading about communication, and one of the authors said that it takes 7 minutes. Was it 7 minutes to have a meaningful conversation? So if you're talking, before a conversation becomes meaningful, it has to have a 7-minute foundation. Now chew on that a moment. Because the point the author was making is that rarely in our culture do we have meaningful conversations. Because in our conversations, in our generation, in the middle of a conversation, somebody will go like this. You ever seen this? They check a notification. Well, here's what the author said. When you, in the middle of a conversation with your spouse, you get a notification, you glance at it and tap it, you got to start the 7 minutes over because you just interrupted the 7-minute foundation. So you see how the enemy in our culture is against our communication. It's no wonder we struggle so hard to have close, happy marriages because everything in our culture is designed to destroy communication, not enhance it. To separate us from communication, not help it. What are some others? Yeah, I guess we could throw TV in there, couldn't we? Yeah. And social media. As you're getting older, some of you are retired now. Isn't that exciting? Nothing to do. No money to do it with. Can I get an amen? But you know what happens? Sometimes in your older age, the TV can become a real comfort. We turn it on in the morning. It's on all day. And where is it? There may not be anything evil on the TV maybe everything on your TV is good, but we got to be aware of what is it that's hindering our communication. Sometimes it's your children. Now you can't get rid of those. You understand that, right? But you can be alert about it. You can. Beth and I, when our kids were home, we lived in an RV for how long? 21 years we lived in an RV, not 16 years full time. But 21 years total, we had an RV and lived in it in our ministry and evangelism. And how old were the kids when we started doing the Wednesday night, put the kids to bed? Josh, do you remember that? After church on Wednesday night, it was Dave and Bethany night. Do you remember that? Dave and Bethany night was Wednesday night after the revival service. I didn't counsel on Wednesday nights. I'd finish the meeting and I'd get out real fast. Bethany would leave immediately. Normally, we're the last one. We're the first ones there, the last ones to leave. We've always done that, but not on Wednesday night. When our kids were small, that was Dave and Bethany night. And Bethany had run back to the RV, put the kids in bed. And the rule was, don't leave the room or you will meet Jesus. Okay, wasn't that far? But that was our night. And sometimes I'd come in, you know, what are we going to do tonight? You know, well, sometimes we'd watch a movie. It was just a relax. But many times I'd, you know, go somewhere, you know, high dollar, McDonald's or something. and bring in a little snack and just sit and talk. So you have to work at it. You that have younger kids, work at it. Sometimes it's so hard to find someone to babysit your children, but work at that. There's got to be somebody in your church you trust. And you older folks are getting older. Some of these younger couples, one of the gifts you could give them might be to keep their kids one Friday night a month for 2 hours. Let them go out to eat uninterrupted. It could be a way we could serve each other. The Pringles, Mrs. Pringle's in heaven now, and Pastor and Mrs. Pringle were in Cape Girardeau, Missouri, at Lighthouse Baptist Church, and we went there for revival. Did we have three at that time, or was it just two? We just had our two, and it would have been a busy season, and I don't know if they thought we needed it, but partway through the week, Mrs. Pringle was like, hey, tomorrow we'd love to take your kids. We'll feed them lunch, and they can hang out at our house, and you guys can go on a date. That was a really great gift in that revival, that older couple, that pastor and his wife who loved the Lord, whom we trusted, took our children. We went out and just talked, uninterrupted. So you got to work at this. You follow this? What else we got in our notes here? You got to take advantage of normal times. Now write that down and don't miss it. Take advantage of normal times. What I mean by that, how many of y'all eat every day? Do you? I can tell by looking at you. We eat every day. That's a normal time. What are some other normal times? You help us think through some normal times where we can just communicate.
Well, a lot of times during meal times, I don't know about you, but the young couples in our church, they come home from work and they get the kids ready, you know, and then they just want to relax all evening. And so the television comes on, even during meal times. I would encourage you, turn the television off and actually talk to one another. And feed your kids right away and then let them go play and then just keep talking. Stay at the table a little longer and talk. It could be that a car ride would be a good 7 minutes for you to have a conversation. Maybe you're just going to the grocery store or you're going to church. Places you normally go to together, make that a communication time instead of, you know, he's driving and just vegging. I don't know. What do you do while you're driving? Do you think? Do you? Yeah. Okay, good. And then, I don't know. I mean, sometimes guys get this look on their face like there's, you know, I'm just going to the place.
I am thinking, how can I beat that guy?
Instead of just being silent in the driver's side, and then girls, what do we often do? We have a moment to just sit. The kids are in the car seat. They're buckled in. They're not going anywhere. We can get on our phone. We can send all those texts that we need to send, and we can check social media real quick. I know I'm guilty of this. Sometimes I'm just going and going and going all day, and I finally get to sit down, and I don't need to drive. And so I'm thinking of the five ladies in my church that I need to text right away instead of, hey, how was your day? And communicating and connecting with him. It could be bedtime. Do you go to bed every day? At least some point during the day. So maybe use that as a communication time. You're getting ready for bed. You're brushing your teeth. You're like, hey, how was your day? I mean, I don't know how you want to do it, but use that as a communication time. Maybe right after the children go to bed, this is a good time for you not to be like, okay, we're going to go to our own corner and just have a little bit of relaxed time. We'll relax together and have a little bit of talk time.
You can't do that toothbrush thing anymore. We can't communicate while we're, because we just bought those battery operated ones. Those are so loud. You can't talk during those anymore. So no conversation.
It's funny though. It's funny to try. Anyway,
they lose the,
yeah, so. It's just, we're trying to get, our dentist was like, you really need to get into,
so we're trying,
the 2000s and get one of those toothbrushes anyway.
So take advantage of normal time.
Yes.
Does that make sense to you? And by the way, sometimes we tend to think of a couple's conference like, well, you know, we need to add this and add that. You know, the fact of the matter is a lot of times things are accomplished in normal event life. So you don't need to add something necessarily. It may just be you need to turn the TV off and talk during the mealtime or at the close of a meal. And, you know, sometimes we'll, at the end of a meal, I'm not a huge tea drinker. I'm talking about a hot tea, but my wife is. And I can drink it, and there's some tea I like. And so sometimes at the end of a meal, we'll turn on the, you know, the tea kettle and pour a cup of hot tea and sit at the table. The dishes aren't going anywhere. and there's nothing pressing that evening, just to stop and talk. And that can be a very meaningful time. So if you're going to win at communication, you got to do it. You got to do it. And so you got to remember, any hindrances, think about changing them. Normal times, think about using them. When you're driving to church, getting ready for church can be tense, can it? And yeah, but driving to church could be a good time to chat, or even going home from church. We used to do this a lot with our kids. We'd leave service. We'd be like, you know, hey, what'd you learn? And who'd you talk to? And what'd the preacher preach about? About that one little kid. You about that one little kid? And say, what'd the Sunday school teacher, what'd the preacher preach about? And the little kid said, pastor preached about sin. So what'd he say about it? He said, well, I think he was against it. Let's hope so, because that's the right move. Let's see, take advantage of these normal times. You don't have to add more to your busy life, just in normal times. We went to a couples conference in Louisiana a few weeks ago, and it was a 7-hour drive south and a 7-hour drive back north to our home. And that was 7 hours in a car, and we did a lot of talking, a lot of chatting. And sometimes social media can be helpful, because the other day I was on my social media account just checking something, and this little thing popped up here. I don't know if I can find it or not, but where do you find the saved things anyway? Where is that? I find my saved stuff. My teenager's not here to help this old man, okay? Don't judge me. There they are. And I found this thing about 7 questions to ask each other. And so these are pretty good. What's the go-to phrase that I say way too often? That's a good question. Yeah.
Chew on that.
That's true. I do say that while I'm preaching.
A lot.
Apparently more than I thought, because there's T-shirts now wandering around my church that on the back of them say, chew on that, Pastor Dave. And what's one word that sums up what it's like being married to me? Don't answer that one. What's my most consistent routine? What's one thing I do that you'd miss immediately if it stopped? What's one thing I do that instantly gives away my mood? She answered that one really fast. What's my funniest habit around food? What's something you know about me that almost no one else does? Don't answer that one either. But just, you know, it's a normal conversation. We're blessed in our generation. We've got all kinds of opportunities. Let's just take advantage of them. And here's what God gives us. Every day we go to bread. Try that again. Every day we go to bed. That's a talk time. Every day we eat meals. It's a normal talk time. You got to get ready. It's a talk time. There's all kinds of opportunities in a normal day if we plan it and prepare it and guard it to get along, to have a conversation. So number one's pretty simple, isn't it? You got to do it. Anything else underneath that number one? We got to get number 4, number 5. Number 4, take advantage of normal times. That in there? Oh, number 4, schedule times just for talk. Schedule times just for talk. Now, what we mean by that, sometimes you need to have a conversation and it's a harder one. Schedule it. Ladies, it's okay to schedule a time, because ladies, you tend to feel more emotional. Now, guys, most of us would not schedule it. I'm okay. Not going to talk about it. How many ladies are married to a man who's like that? I'm okay with not talking about it. Come on, nobody here but us. You can admit it. But look at this. Hard conversations sometimes have to happen. Schedule it. To say, Beth and I have learned to say, hey, when are we need to talk about such and such. Let's talk about that at, and we schedule it. We walk every morning. That's one of our scheduled connects time. We walk every morning, take a walk. And on our morning walk is a connect time scheduled. And for us, it's like, you know, what's in the day? What can I do for you today? What's on your schedule today? What do I need to know about today? And sometimes it's, what are we going to do about this today? What are we going to do about that problem? Sometimes it's a matter of, you know, we got to talk about a little issue. Not that we ever have those. We make them up, you know, just to be normal. And sometimes we just got to talk. Are y'all with me or not? So number one, you got to do it. All right. You agree with that? Is that simple enough? You got it. You just got to do it. Okay.
Skip this one.
Well, I think the notes, I'm looking at the other notes here. Maybe.
No, they got it.
Oh, we do. Oh, there we go. Look at that. Schedule times for the difficult talks. There we do have another one, don't we? All right. So fill that blank in and let's get to the second point here. All right. Second point, learn to listen. Now, this is a big one. And the reason I give this one is because it's in the Bible. How many of y'all know the verse? Do y'all know the verse? James 1:19. I've got it in my Bible right here, and I'm going to read it to you. You ought to memorize this one. This is a communication verse. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be what? Swift to hear. Say that with me. Let every man be swift to hear. Don't you find that kind of funny? Be really fast to listen. It's got almost an odd way to say it, isn't it? Be really fast to listen. Listen really fast. Rush towards being quiet is what he's saying there. Listen. Let everyone be swift to hear. Then he said, slow to speak and slow to wrath. Any of y'all ever have issues in your marriage where anger gets involved? You ever get defensive, get irritated, get bothered? Your voices ever raise? Has that ever happened to anybody in this room? So here's the Bible answer. You've got to learn to listen. James 1:19. Be swift to hear. Listening is essential in communication. Now, often, tell me if I'm right about this, often one of you, is this okay to say? Often in a marriage, one spouse has to work harder at that than the other one, at least as far as silence goes in the part of listening. Because typically in one marriage, one of the couples is faster to talk and one is slower to process. Often that's the lady-man situation there. Ladies often have an ability to think things through faster and talk about things faster. Is that true in your marriage? Whereas we men have a problem in the sense that we don't talk fast and we don't answer fast typically. Because if we do, what happens? If your husband answers fast, what happens? It's normally he's wrong. It's exactly right. How many of y'all agree with that? Is that not right? If I'm fast in my answer, typically my answer is emotional. And when a husband's answer is emotional, it almost always complicates the problem. Because now the problem is not the problem. The problem is emotional about it. So now the problem is deeper. You see how this goes down? So what the Bible says, you learn to listen. So Beth look at that. That's not a, I work at it and she does it. Tap, listen. And especially these are true, especially during the difficult times. Mm-hmm. So we have a problem. It's easy. Or y'all say it's easy to say, well, this bothered me. Or I really didn't like that. And then what? Or, you know, well, you said, well, that's not what I said. Y'all ever done that? You just say that. Y'all are, have you started learning yet that it really doesn't matter what you said? What matters is what they thought you said. And that's really what matters. We counsel so many couples that are like, we were counseling Josh's baby brother this week and his wife, it was a counseling. And we're sitting on our back porch talking, and they were asking us some questions about being married. And it was kind of funny because we chuckled a little bit because the thing they were bothered about that they, you know, kind of came up, you know, well, this happens and, you know, this happens and that happens. And I finally said to them, can I just tell y'all something? This is not about you two. This is about the fact that she's a woman and you're a man. Because if you were married to somebody else, I'm telling you, it'd be the exact scenario because he's doing what he's doing. Because he's a man, and she's thinking what she's thinking because she's a woman. Are y'all aware of that? That's why just end couples remarry. You know why second marriages, it doubles the divorce rate almost? You know why? Because it's so disappointing to get married and find out you have the same problems. And so you end the second marriage. You know, if you get married a third time, it's almost 100% guaranteed the marriage won't work. Well, here's something to help you with that. If you learn to listen, that's a big step in good communication. To stop long enough to understand, I have to stop and listen, not get defensive, not explain myself, but hear her out. Now, I'm going to say something, okay? Even if I'm going to say because sometimes, no matter how hard she explains herself, I don't get it. That is not what I said. That is not what I meant. I have no idea what you've been talking about. But I have to listen. I listen to understand. Guys, this is a big one. I listen to understand her feelings. Doesn't matter what I said or didn't say. It matters how she feels. One of the hardest things in the world for me to do is process that because I'm a man. I want to deal in the realm of, no, here's what was said and here's what I meant. Case closed. But life doesn't work out that way. Are y'all aware of that? So I have to listen. This is a very important matter. You can jump in here and help me with this if you want.
I'm doing great.
It's a matter of focusing your attention on your spouse. Listening is saying, what's important? What's important to my wife here? What is it that's really bothering her? And guys, one of the most important things I've ever learned is processing from her perspective. And ladies, one of the most important things you'll learn is processing from his perspective. If Bethy's sharing her emotions with me, I may be a little confused. I didn't mean that. I didn't say that. That wasn't even what I was thinking. But as far as she's concerned, I meant it, I said it, and it's what I was thinking. So I have to live in that realm. Sometimes I have to make it right by moving into that realm, even though it feels awkward. Sometimes I don't even apologize for what I did. I apologize for what she felt about what I did. And that's valid for me to say, honey, I am so sorry that I made you feel that way. Will you forgive me for making you feel that way? That is so awkward to me as a man. What am I saying? But I'm learning that that's how my wife processes. I learned that by listening. We had an argument over something months ago. I remember what it was. Do you remember? We talked about it. I didn't respond right. She didn't respond right. We just weren't solving it. We weren't having a knockdown, drag out fight. We just, you know, we're a little bummed at each other. You know what I mean by that? Just a little miffed. As my mom used to say, we were up a miffed tree. So just a little upset at each other, and we weren't getting anywhere. I had been working on this idea of, I'm sorry that I made you feel that way. And I had it on my desk in my bedroom. I had been working on it. I'd printed it off, and the notes were laying on my desk, Pastor, on my desk in my bedroom. And I don't know, it's probably a few days later, I came down the hall. We still hadn't quite resolved our little difference. And circled that part of my note and put her words right there. And she put this. No, I'm hitting him now. But she was. And guys, this is learning about communication. And this isn't just that, ladies, we got to understand you. You got to understand your man. God wants your man to think differently than you. He did. The reason God holds your husband responsible to leave home is because God gave him a brain than yours. How does your brain be like spaghetti? It's just all. And God designed the guy's brain to be like. And that's how God did it, because God wants you men to be a leader who doesn't respond to every emotional issue. You guys offend at their wife because, oh my word, everything I do, she's like, got an opinion about it. Take that up with the Lord. He designed her. And don't be offended by it. You know, like, but my outfit, and our kids are done raising, it's easier to laugh about it because the difference in husband and wives about raising children. Don't do that with our kids. Don't do that. Don't wrestle with the boys. You'll hurt them. What do you mean don't wrestle with the boys? Every dad wants to hurt his son. I mean, wrestle with his son. Right? Come on. It's what we do. We're men. But see, God put our wife in there to feel that emotion. So, you know, guys often get up with, oh, she does this, watch me. Stop it. God designed her to feel that emotion and all of that. He designed her that way. He designed you to think of one thing at a time because he wants you to wrap your brain around the issues of life and zero in on it and meditate on it and carry it and figure it out and get the answer. Focus your attention on each other and listen to each other. Anything you want to add to that?
I would just say that listening isn't just for the difficult times. Ladies, sometimes we think our husband never listens to us. He does listen. He is. It just could be that you're talking so much, he doesn't have time to jump in. And after a while, he's like, where is this going? Charity and I were just talking the other day how that we have to give David a heads up when we're going to change conversation points. You know, like Charity and I are just tracking, you know, I'm talking, she's talking, and we're just going all over the map about everything.
They do this to me while I'm driving.
But we cannot. Charity was like, we can't do that with Dad, Mom. And I was like, I know. She was like, we have to give him a heads up. We have to be like, okay, this is a different conversation we're about to take. So maybe give your husband a heads up. Because, you know, three conversations in, and it's only been 30 seconds, he's like, I have no idea where I even am. So just maybe give him a heads up. Maybe give him time to talk. I know I have ladies all the time who say, my husband never talks to me. Does he know that you listen? In Proverbs 31, it says, the heart of her husband safely trusts in her. And if your husband's heart is safe with you, he will talk to you. He will. He may be the strong, silent type and will only say a few words, but he will talk. But if he knows that he will meet with opposition every time he opens his mouth, if he knows that you're not really listening, you're only listening to defend yourself, to give your opinion, if he knows that you're only listening so you can tell him how he's thinking wrong about it, his heart is not safe. So, if your husband's not talking, maybe his heart isn't safe. Try listening.
It's valuable phrase. Slow to speak, quick to listen. And maybe when there's issues, one of the things to do is talk slower. Maybe that's what he's trying to say to us there. Hear the subject out and talk slower. You know, when the Bible says in anger, remember that when he talks about how to deal with anger, communication there? He says a soft answer turns away wrath. One of the lessons you learn right there is how do you fight? You fight in whispers. Next time you have a moment of intensity and you're whisper will change the whole argument. Try it. I'm so mad at you. Just whispering those words alone bring a smile, don't they? God knew what he was talking about there. In this stuff, this is about communication. Right, we got to hurry here. Put up that next screen. What is there one more there? Consider what they're saying. That's in your notes, I think, and you got that one already. And so let me hasten here so we can finish this one up. Number three in your notes, number three, remember to laugh. Now, I'm putting that one in there because so many couples forget this one. A merry heart does good like a medicine, the Bible says. Y'all believe that?
Yeah.
So don't take yourself so seriously. Laugh at each other. Laugh with each other. Enjoy life. Laugh about all kinds of things. Learn to laugh. If it's been a long time since you two laughed together, pick it up. You need to laugh and enjoy life together. Don't get so serious. There's all kinds of things to laugh about. Josh and Bethany are here tonight, and we were with our grandmother, Ellie. And today we were talking about where we're going to have lunch with them. We had lunch today. We had an early lunch because we were coming into town to eat with Pastor, and so going to run and get an early lunch. So we chose Chick-fil-A. Bethany says to Ellie, do you like salad? And she goes, she says, I do not like salad. That's what she did. I do not like salad. She said, I like chicken nuggets. isn't that funny? And isn't that why you fell in love? You laughed it with each other and life was fun and enjoyable and we get married and get over that. So learn to talk and laugh and tease and joke. One of the things I pulled that up on Instagram, those seven questions, a little bit of humor in that. After I asked Bethley, I asked Charity, our senior in high school. You get a different answer. It's fun. But enjoy life. If you can't laugh together, it probably means there's a problem in your marriage. If you're not able to chuckle at life together and smile at each other, you smile at each other. Start your day with a happy face. Smile at each other. That's a hard one because Bethany gets up about an hour and a half or 2 hours before I do sometimes because she can't sleep. And I get up and I'm okay. I like the mornings as long as you don't talk to me. And so I like wake up. I wake up, you know, and I come out. She might have been up 2 hours because she woke up at four and I, you know, I'm just now getting up at six and I come out and sometimes how was your morning? How'd you sleep? I don't know. I don't even have a clue if I'm awake or not. But laughing about those things, we don't need to get irritated at each other. We're Christians. Laugh it together. All right, we got two more things to tell you, I think. Do we have two more here in the notes? We do. All right, number four. This is a big one now. Keep building. Now, we're going to zero in on Ephesians 4:29 before we close. Ephesians 4:29 is about corrupt communication versus edification. Corrupt communication versus edification. So let me turn over here so I can make sure I'm giving the right notes. All right. The first one in the blank is the old man. Corrupt communication is the old man. And just to make it clear, it's the opposite of edification. So fill that in under corrupt communication. That's the old man. It's the opposite of edifying. So old man, corrupt communication is tearing down. And you and I have got to guard against that. If I'm always belittling my spouse, if you're always belittling each other, oh my word, and especially if you do it publicly, oh my word, he's always that way. Oh, my word, he always tells that joke. Oh, sorry, because I do. If we're not careful, everything becomes sarcastic. Oh, my word, you know, your dad. That's tearing down. And when we are tearing each other down, we don't have a happy marriage. That's old man thinking. Are you negative to each other? Sarcasm isn't necessarily wrong. You know that, don't you? Sarcasm can make things, you know, a little spicy, a little fun. It's like putting salt on food. A little bit of sarcasm is great, and a little salt's good flavor. You put too much, it can do a lot of damage. You say, well, I don't know if it's too much. Well, you got to know your spouse. If your spouse is closing down because you're always sarcastic and joking and belittling and making fun of, listen, we're not to tear down. Your next word there, not corrupt communication, but edification. Edification is the new man. Put that, the new man. Build, it's to strengthen. Edification. And edifies to build. Did you ever tell her she was pretty? Guys, did you ever tell her she was pretty when you were dating? If you ever did. All right, did she believe you? Of course she did. That's why she agreed to marry you. Hey. That he was a stallion. Did you ever tell him something like that? You stallion, you. Why is it, you know, we get married and we forget that kind of stuff? Occasionally it can be as simple as saying, you know, I still love your blue eyes. I could dive in those and swim forever. That's a good line, people. Write that down. If she has brown eyes, I'd recommend you change it. That's so dumb, isn't it? But it's so true. Edifies to build. Just to encourage each other. And yeah, life changes, doesn't it? Yeah, I'm getting gray hair. Bring it on. I like getting older. I mean, I like being alive. Are y'all with me? So getting old is a good thing. We need more elders in the church. Everybody wants to be young now. We got to, you know, don't get old. We got to, you know, get our face lifted and our tummy tucked and let's give up. Your face is falling and your tummy is too, so just bring it on. And most of you guys are twice the man she married, so. The truth. Come on, it's true, isn't it? We're more than our bodies. We're more than our wrinkles. We're more than our hair. Even those things can. My wife tells me all the time. She thinks I'm arguing with a brilliant woman. We ought to encourage. Do you guys build each other? Do you ever compliment him? Do you ever tell him how amazing he is for taking care of the yard? These are silly things. We lived in Florida. I was out working. We didn't get home very often because of our evangelistic ministry. And we were home. And there was always a ton to do. There was always a ton. There's, you know, mail to take care of and banks and doctor's visits and dentists. Because, you know, we were home in a scrunched amount of time because we're always on the road. And I was home one weekend with a whole list of stuff, working, frantically taking care of things. And it's hot and sweaty. It was Florida. And you know, I'm checking my list off because I love lists. Anybody here with me on that? You know, I'll write down things I've already done just so I can check it off. And so, had my little list there. And I walked in the kitchen where our back door came in, and there's a kitchen here to the side. I walked in the little hallway there by the kitchen, and Bethley says, she's at the counter working or cooking or something. And she said, "Hey, honey." And I stopped and I looked at her, and she said something like, "Thank you for all the work you do when we're home to make our yard look so beautiful." I was like, well, you want to make out or something? You know? I was like, what in the world? Just those simple little words. That was important. See, we forget how simple communication is. As simple as saying, you know, "Thank you for that meal, sweetheart. That was amazing. Thank you for making my favorite dessert. That was incredible. Thank you for making the bed. You're incredible. Man, you're such a stallion. I'm so glad I married you." And see, honestly, we all chuckle, don't we? But we forget how important that is. How does Hollywood show you a couple? Hollywood almost always shows you a couple that's sarcastic and belittling each other. And they will show you that as kind of the marriage romance. I saw a little reel the other day, a little reel of, was it Roseanne? Does that sound right? And who was the guy she was married to in the one sitcom? I don't remember, because I grew up without a TV, because we were like against everything. But I remember watching this thing, and somebody comes to the door and hands her flowers. And she was like, "Well, those can't—" Oh, it's from Dan. Because she said, "Well, those can't be from Dan, because Dan wouldn't buy me flowers." And she turns around, and Dan's behind her, and she's like, "Did you buy me flowers?" And he was like, "No, would I do that?" And so she opens the thing, and it was like, "Yeah, I did. Love, Dan." And she goes, "You scumbag, you." Well, that's Hollywood humor. Now, I guess there's some couples, maybe they find a little flirtation, and "You scumbag, you." But that's not edification, is it? That's so simple, isn't it? Strengthen each other. Hey, where's your spouse struggling? Is she feeling insecure about her parenting? She feel insecure about adding a little bit of weight? Does she feel insecure because her clothes don't fit right anymore? Does he feel insecure because he's getting an inner tube? He no longer has a six-pack, he has a 2-liter. Do we ever build about those things? Do you ever say, "You know what, honey, I still think you look amazing. I'd rather be married to you than anybody in the world. You still, we're married, right? You still turn me on. When I see you, I still want to be with you." Do you build? Do you edify? It's 8 o'clock, we got to close. So I got one more note. Anything you want to add to the edification? Come on. Okay. Number 5, keep growing spiritually. Keep growing spiritually. This is 5 steps to winning communication. Just do it. Learn to listen. Remember to laugh. Keep building. Keep growing spiritually. Because you know the point he's making in Ephesians 4, don't you? That this is a process. It's not that I put off the old man, praise God, he's dead. No, it's a process of me dealing with the sin nature, dealing with the sin curse. It's a process of me dealing with my old man issues. It's a process of me continually becoming more like Jesus. So keep growing spiritually. And one of the number one ways you grow spiritually, according to the Bible, is in your tongue. You know that, don't you? It's with your communication. Because if we're belittling and sarcastic and tearing down and angry and hard to get along with and sharp-tongued and short-tempered and short-fused, it's because we're not right with God. So the more I grow spiritually, the more tender and sweet-spirited and easy to get along with I am, and my words are kinder. And he says that later in Ephesians 4, doesn't he? Put off anger, wrath, malice, and so forth. Put all that away. Evil speaking, put all that away, and be ye kind one to another. Start there if you know work. Maybe you got an issue in your marriage. Could you start with kindness? You can be kind to a perfect stranger, can't you? You can be kind to a jerk, right? You can be kind to the person that cuts you off in traffic. Is that simple? So the guy cuts you off. All right, let him in. You're going to see him at the next traffic light anyway. Right? Kindness goes a long ways. We say it to our kids all the time, don't we? Be kind, be kind. Say it to your spouse, be kind. Let's be kind to each other. Practice it in your marriage. So this is just winning communication. Before we take a quick break, is there one or two questions that you would want to ask before we take a break and move to our second session? Any question immediately come to your mind? Because if so, Bethy will be happy to answer it. Anything at all? This is elementary, really elementary. I almost feel guilty sometimes when we teach these things because this is elementary. And yet it's probably where most of us struggle is with things like communication. So could you do better, yes or no? Yes. Is there an area where you could work? Could you see one area where you could improve? Well, then let's do it. Start in the break with some edification. Say at least one edifying thing to your spouse before we start the next session. At least one, all right? At least one thing to your spouse before we start the next session, all right? So what are we going to do now? 8:10. All right, 8:10. We'll see you back in here and get some caffeine. Some of you, like you need it.